every one of us, and every day. And we need Jesus because we can't do it in ourselves. We're weak. You know, our human nature, our flesh and our blood, it can't do what's required. You know, even though our conscience tells us, even though we have guilt, and our conscience tells us we're doing it wrong, or we need to do it better. We try, but we can't in ourselves. And so that's why we called on Jesus' name, because we need someone to help us. And so we're gathering here because we need the Word of God. And the Word of God is, the Lord said He sent His Word to heal us, to help us, to give us life. And when we hear the Word of God, we get faith. And the Bible says that without faith, we can't please God. Because in our own strength, as many times as we try and overcome, we fail until we believe in Jesus. Because God said that there's no other way of salvation. There's no other name. There's no other way that we can be saved from our sins from the past, from our sins today, from the things that bind us. Then, unless we call on Jesus' name and humble ourselves and acknowledge that we need a Savior. And I'm just... We all know that we have to call on Him every day. Because the moment we forget that, we get weak in our flesh, in our sin nature, and we fall, and the devil just comes to try and bind us. He's a roaring lion. And as I was meditating today, I was thinking about some things, about how we escape temptations, because temptations come every day. Temptations come. And I was reading a verse that said, no temptation has come to us except what is common to man. It says, God is faithful. He won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can endure or are able. He said, but with every temptation, He'll provide a way of escape. And then I read a verse right after that, and it says, therefore, beloved, or brethren, or saints, it says, flee from idolatry. So I was thinking about that, and I was meditating what that has to do with temptation. And so I was looking into those things, but I thought, well, maybe today we'll share something more simple, but I think it still applies because it all has to do with one thing, and that's temptation comes to cause us to stumble, to sin. Right? We're all tempted to sin. That's one thing that in this world we know, everybody knows, is that there's light and darkness. There's good and evil. There's bad and good, right? And it's built in. God made it. He made it like a memory chip in a computer. It just remembers and it knows our conscience. It knows when it does bad. It's like an internal, as I heard you share, an internal videotape. Our whole life, everything we do, say and act, everything that we do against God, against His will, against the knowledge of what we know is right or wrong, is recorded in our memory. An internal memory chip. So when we die on the day of judgment, God will take that and play it back to us. And record every single thing, whether good or bad, what we've done. And we all know that there's something inside of us tells us we need to overcome. There has to be change. We're in bondage. Unless we come to Jesus. And so temptations come. And the Bible says we can flee. God makes a way for temptation to escape from it. Way of escape. And that's only through Jesus. So unless we have Jesus, we can't. There's no way to overcome that. There's no way to overcome it. But God still requires a judgment day for everything we've done, whether good or bad, whether He knows about Jesus or He doesn't, whether He has the Bible or He doesn't have the Bible, whether He went to church or didn't go to church. It doesn't matter before God, because He gave every man a conscience to know right and wrong, and it's all recorded. And so He says, I'm going to give you a way of escape. And I'll send my Son. He's going to show you the way. His name is Jesus. And He was without sin. And He can take all the sins of your past and He can wipe them away and forgive you those. But not only that, He can do something even more than that. He can also take away sin so you don't have to continue to practice sinning. Continue to go on sinning. That's the difference. Not just a gospel that, oh Lord, please forgive me over and over. And you never feel like you're free, because Jesus says, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. If we're still sinning, we're a slave. We can't pray a prayer and ask God to forgive us and still continue in sin. It just doesn't work. But Jesus said, I can do something greater than that. I can actually come and take it away. What came on my heart was to look at an example of the sons of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament. We have these examples, all these stories. We've heard a lot of these stories, but they're written for our instruction so that we can learn by them. We can have faith and we can believe and see what God is trying to show his people. So back in Exodus, we'll just look at a few things here. And you see, this is a story of a testimony of God. He called the people through one man. One man, his name was Abraham. He believed God. And God saw he had faith. This man was no different than any other man. He wasn't some kind of righteous guy that did it all right, some good guy. He was just a regular, ordinary guy. But he really listened to that built-in conscience, that memory chip that was telling him something, always reminding him, what you're doing, no, this is wrong, this is a better way. And he heard his voice, and he believed in God. He believed there was a creator God. And so because he believed God, he listened to that inner voice, and he obeyed it. And he believed God would speak to him. And because he believed that, God said, I'm going to make you righteous. Before you do anything right, I'm going to make you righteous if you look up and believe that I can do all these things that I want to do for you. And you just trust in me and you believe what I'm telling you. I'll make you righteous. And he believed that and he started to take steps of faith, little steps. Didn't happen all in one day, his sin being taken away, but his heart, when God looked at him, he said, you know what, you're clean, you're pure because you believe that I can do it. And because this one man had this kind of faith, God says, I'm going to bless all your seed and your descendants after you. And so many, many years came by. And he had children and children's children. And there became a whole nation called the Israelites. Today we know them as the Jews, right? The Israelites, an actual people. Today, because of this one man, it's an actual thing that manifested naturally, that God had chosen this specific people just because of one thing. One man believed. So that gives us hope. Because if I believe God's word today, just like Abraham believed it, then I can have the same promise that he can make me righteous and he can choose me and call me for a specific purpose to make me more like him, like his son Jesus Christ. So what happened was that God said, I'm going to select the people, your own children, but there's going to come a time when they will be led into captivity and bondage. And so what happened is the people went into Egypt for about 430 years, a long time. They were in Egypt for 430 years and they became slaves. They became natural slaves of people and they were whipped and beaten and had to work long days and long hours and they never had freedom. Continually slaves. And I'm sharing this because this is an example for us of a picture that God's giving us to show us how when we are not under Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ is not our Lord and Savior, then we have another master, which is the devil, because the devil rules the world. And when we live for ourselves and for sin, we are slaves of our sin. And we become slaves of Satan. And so it's a picture of us, how we, while practicing sin, I quoted this verse, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Now God's people were slaves of the Egyptians. And Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, was an example of a ruler, Satan, like a Satan, example of Satan, an adversary over the people who just rule their life, never had freedom. And so apart from Jesus Christ, this is what we are. We're exactly the same. We're like a people in bondage, continually slaves of sin, continually bound and confined into this one little place, and we can't go. It's like a cage. It's like a bird in a cage or something in a cage. Can't get free. So God looked down on these people after all these years. And those people, that bondage, that slavery, brought a breaking inside of them. Something happened because they began to see that they couldn't be free. There was no hope. You know, it's like living in your life and finding yourself continually in sin and in an area. It may be one area, maybe a few areas. And you just say, I can't be free. There's no possible way. And you just get down and discouraged. And you feel like you have to just stay in that place. But what happened was God's people, while they were in that place, began to cry and weep, saying, We ask God, Lord, have mercy on us. Lord, set us free. Lord, deliver us. And they began to groan and cry out because that bondage brought them to a place of weakness. It made them weak. And see, that's why I was studying a verse and sharing this with a brother. God says he's going to shut up all men into disobedience. Can you believe that? God says he's going to cause all men to be shut up into disobedience for one reason. It says that he might show mercy to them all. Because God's full of mercy and compassion. He actually allowed those people to go into slavery. God could have stopped it, but he didn't. He let them choose their own way. Just like we have a choice. We can choose to sin, not to sin. And if we choose to sin, we'll go into bondage. And God will let it happen. He'll let us practice sin. He'll let us go into disobedience until we come to the place, just like what happened to the Israelites. They realized they needed someone to save them because they couldn't do it. And they began to weep and cry and say, I need help. And when God heard that, when he heard that cry, he said, I'm going to save you. That's what changed God's mind. That's what changed God's mind to show mercy to someone who never deserved mercy. Someone who was in sin and bondage. God said, I'm going to bring deliverance. And in Exodus chapter 3, I'm going to read you a verse. And the Lord spoke to this one man named Moses. And he said, I'm going to use you to go and deliver my people. And Moses was just an ordinary man, but he feared God. And God said, I'm going to use this man. And Moses was like a type of deliverer. He represents today Jesus Christ. He was a mediator between the people and God, because God was in the heavens. He was holy and righteous, and the people were down below in sin and darkness. And God was so holy that he just can't come and dwell with any man. He won't just come and sit around and have fellowship with any person, because he's so holy. And man has sinned and fallen so far from God, fallen short of God's glory. So he said, I have a man that will intercede. I'll speak to this man, and this man will go, and he'll talk to my people. And if they believe him and then receive his words, well, then they'll believe my words. And if they believe my words, then I'll set them free. You know what? Jesus said the same thing. Jesus said, if anyone receives your words, he sent his disciples out. He said, if you believe their words, then they'll believe my words. And if they believe my words, then they'll believe the Almighty God's words. And if they believe that, then I'll receive them. And if you hear the word of God and you receive that, or if the word of God speaks to you, then Jesus will receive you if you believe it. And so Moses was a man of God, and he came to intercede. And it says here in Exodus 3, verse 7, the Lord said to Moses, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have given heed to their cry because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their sufferings. Well, that's an encouraging verse, because God says he sees when you're afflicted, and he sees your sufferings, and he sees when you're in trouble, and it concerns him. In fact, they were crying out. It says here in verse 8, so I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians. See, God, he doesn't just come down and listen to anybody or talk to anybody unless he looks and sees a bit of humility, brokenness, desperation, a cry, a willingness to believe that someone can help. And when he sees that, it says he'll come down from heaven. That's how we, some of us here, any of us who ever found for liberty or freedom from sin, that's how it happened for us. Jesus came down because we cried out. He said, I've come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from the land to good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey. God says, I've got a better place for you than this bondage here in Egypt. It's going to be a great place. You don't have to be up there in that same place, just trapped, always running around, trying to figure out what to do, not being able to get free. He says, I'm going to bring you to a good land. Verse 9, and now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. It says here, furthermore, I have seen the oppression which the Egyptians are oppressing them. So God saw it all. He saw that they were being bound, and then they began to cry, and God was watching it all. He's still watching it. Even today, people who are bound, struggling, he's watching to see how they're going to deal with these things. And this is what he said. God says Moses on a missions trip. You know, you hear about missions trips, right? Well, the only missions trip here is about delivering people from bondage. That's a true missions trip. And God said here, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. And you're going to go talk to this Pharaoh. And he said, I want you to bring my people out of Egypt. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt? You see, this man, he just said, I'm just an ordinary man. What can I do? And he said, I'll be with you. And I'm going to show you some signs. It says here, this shall be the sign that it is that I, who have sent you, am with you. And when you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. God says, there's going to be a time when you bring out the people, I'm going to bring you and gather you to one place. And when you're all gathered together, this is going to be a sign that I sent you. God speaking. Okay. Now something happened. Moses got this call from God. Go and bring the people out. He'll use one man. One man who fears God, if he listens to God, he'll take that man and he'll say, okay, I want to use you to go and set my captives free. Set free the captives. And Moses, he began to kind of doubt or, you know, fear that maybe the people wouldn't believe him. You know, who am I? Why should they listen to me? Now there's some interesting things here. In chapter 4, it says Moses is given powers. God gave Moses supernatural powers that no man could have to demonstrate his power that God was with him, that the people would believe. Because God knew the people had to believe. Right? Because if we don't believe that God can set us free, we can never be free. We can never be free. It's like, I heard this example, it's like a, you know, an animal or a bird that was tied to a rope on a stake and just all its life just running in circles and always set free, and one day someone comes and breaks that chain, cuts it loose. But it doesn't know it's free. It's never known that, so it just keeps running in circles and just stays in that same place. It's free, but it's not moving anymore. Because it has to know that it's been free. And so the people need to believe. It's possible. And Moses came in verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1 rather. And Moses answered and said, what if they will not believe, he said. What if they will not listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. And the Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a staff. He was a shepherd. He had the staff in his hand. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and that staff became a serpent. And Moses fled from the serpent. And the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand and grasp that serpent by the tail. So he grasped it by the tail and stretched out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. Now he did this. It says that they may believe the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, which appeared to Moses. And then the Lord said to Moses a second thing. He said to him, now put your hand into your bosom. He put his hand into his bosom. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, white as snow. Leprosy all over his hand. And then he said to him, now put your hand back into your bosom again. So he put his hand back into his bosom again. And when he took it out of his bosom, behold, his hand was restored and was perfect, as good as new. He said, what does all this have to do with anything, right? Some strange signs that God shows Moses. That he would go and show the people that perhaps they might believe that God really did speak to this man and that really God is concerned. Sometimes we doubt that God really cares about us. We really doubt that God loves us and he wants to make us free. Because the devil has been lying all our lives telling us there's no way you can change. There's no way. And we start to believe that lie. Right? We start to believe that it's just, we can't. But God's so concerned that he says, I'm going to give you a sign. And we have a great sign in the New Testament. And Jesus said that he wasn't going to bring all kinds of signs and wonders, necessarily like this, to show people that he loves them. He said there was going to be one sign. And he said this was a sign. It's called the sign of Jonah. But what he meant was, he said, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, was going to come into the earth. And he was going to die on a cross. And go 3 days and three nights on the earth. And God was going to show his power by raising him from the dead. To show him that he could overcome anything that in your mind seems impossible. And the greatest thing that we know that seems impossible to us is death, right? I mean, when you die, that's it. It's done. There's no, when you're in the casket, there's no escape. God said, I'm going to send my son, and I'm going to allow him to be crucified. I'm going to allow him to take on your sins. And when he dies, I'm going to show the world that I have power to raise him from the dead, that I have victory over death. To prove not only that he has victory over death, but he has victory over all sin and anything the devil could ever throw at you. And God raised Jesus out of the grave. And Jesus said, this is going to be a sign, because it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to die for you and me, that whoever should believe in him wouldn't have to perish, but have everlasting life. Because Jesus said, I didn't come in the world to condemn the world. I didn't want to condemn any man, but I came that every man might be saved. And he did. God sent his son that we might believe. And here Moses was given signs that the people would believe. But there's a mystery in this for us. And it says here in verse 8, now it shall come about that if they will not believe you or heed the witness of the first sign, that they may believe the witness of the last sign. So God says there's two signs, the first one and the second sign. Now the first one is just like we said. Now the Bible says Well, first, for example, the staff. Moses had a staff in his hand. You know that with that staff, Moses did signs and wonders? When Moses was before the Red Sea, when his people were coming to the Red Sea, he lifted up his staff, he stretched out his staff, and whenever God told him to lift up his staff, something would happen, supernatural. The seas would be parted. He would touch the staff to the waters, they would become blood. He would throw his staff down, it would become a serpent. That staff is a symbol, I believe, of the Word of God. The Word of God, because the power is in the Word of God. It's the Word of God that changes us. It's the truth. Jesus said, the truth makes you free. It's not something special that just all of a sudden sets us free. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Word. It says the Word became flesh. God's Word became flesh and appeared among us. So what does this mean that Moses had a staff in his hand? And see, when Moses said, Lord, how do you believe me? What does God say? God said, what's in your hand? He said, a staff. What was he pointing to? He's pointing to the rod. The Bible says, thy rod and thy staff, they come from me. His Word, Jesus Christ. What is in our hand today? Right? What are we reading from today? We're reading from the Word of God. That's what we're reading from right here. God said, take that staff and throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground and it became a serpent. You know what the serpent represents? Represents a curse. Represents a curse. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, right before the verse I just quoted to you, John 3:16. In John 3:15 it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole, so the Son of Man might be lifted up. And when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, the Bible says he became the curse for us. And that was the representation of the serpent. He was the curse. Now, why do I talk about the curse? Because if we practice sin and continue in sin, we are under the curse of the law. The Bible has laws and commands that if we live under sin, God's law, his wrath is upon us and we're cursed. The end of that is death and eternal judgment in hell. So what Jesus said is that I'm going to come and I'm going to give him a message. And my message is this, that I will take the curse. I'm going to take all your sins, every evil thing you've done, which you're deserving of hell. And if you just believe in me, I will take all that on myself. I'll become like the serpent. And Moses, when he lifted up the serpent on the bronze pole, the people would look at it. And when they believed, they were healed. They are instantly healed inside before they did anything because they believed. And in Galatians, we have a passage in the Bible that says Jesus became a curse for us. As many as believe in Jesus, he took the curse and the sin. And this is what God said to Moses. He said, this is the number one sign. If you believe this, something's going to happen. If you believe that Jesus can become a curse for you and take away your sin, it will happen. And then God said, stretch out your hand. And he took that rod and he grabbed that, or took that snake and he grabbed it and it became a staff again. And that's also the healing. That's the healing. That's the taking away of the curse. Now he says, now if they don't believe that sign, the first sign, he says there's also a second sign. And the second sign is what we talked about. He said, you will put your hand inside your bosom and then you pull it out again. And when you put it in, pull it out, it became leprous. Now this is another example. It's a mystery. But what this speaks about is, the defilement of the flesh. You know what that is? That's sin. When we sin, we defile our bodies. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. God made us for His Holy Spirit to dwell in. When we sin, we defile ourselves. And when Moses put his hand in and brought it out, God showed him that his hand was leprous because of this defilement. It's like sin. When we sin, we defile ourselves. In fact, Jesus even said, if your hand would cause you to sin, if you take something with your hand and put that in your body, or do something with your hand that's sin, Jesus says it would be better to cut it off and throw it away from you and to go to heaven with one hand than to go to hell with two. So when he put his hand in there, it was leprous like snow. And then he said, go put it back in. He put it back in and he said, it was perfectly well. And this is a sign for us that when you see on your hand what looks like leprosy, or in your eye, or in part of your body, that there's sin and just you can't get rid of it. It's on you. It's in you. God says, I can take it away. He had to show Moses that. That's why Moses took it out and it was leprous like that. And he said, you put it back in and I'll show him a sign. I'll show him a sign. This is a sign that the Lamb of God came to take away the sin of the world. That's another sign. Not only did he come to take all your sins and all that curse away from you, he said, I came to take away sin so that I can make your leprosy as though it wasn't leprosy anymore. In fact, when Jesus came, he healed the lepers. All who were sick, he would always heal them. To show them that, Jesus said this, I came for the sinner, not the righteous. He said, I came for the sick. It's not the healthy you need a physician, but it's the sick, right? You go to the hospital when you're sick. Why do you go to Jesus? Because you have a problem with sin. If you've got leprosy, you need to get taken away. And Moses put his hand in, he took it out. God says, I can take it away. That's my sign. Now, if they believed that sign, something was going to happen. Number one, Jesus becomes a curse. And number two, he takes away the leprosy. He takes away the sin. And verse 9 says, but if they don't believe that, or heed that, then take some water, pour it in the Nile on the dry ground. From the water from the Nile, pour it on the dry ground rather. And the water which you take from the Nile will become blood on the ground. And that's just another sign of judgment. It means that if he gives us all these things and we don't believe, then there's nothing left but blood and death. I don't understand it all, but all I know is that it's important that we believe those two signs. It's important that we believe that God loved us enough to take the curse from us and that he wants to take away sin. So this is an example that God gives us from the Old Testament that I wanted to look at. It's a simple message that Jesus comes to set us free from sin. And if someone comes and brings the good news like that, and we hear that, and we just believe with all our heart that God can do that, and we humble ourselves and come to Jesus, fall before him and cry out, God will hear that cry. God will hear that cry, and he'll give you perhaps a mustard seed of faith to believe that he can set you free. He can make you well. He can heal you inside and outside. So what happened was, when Moses went in to talk to the people, let's go here and let's read verse 27, chapter 4. The Lord said to Aaron, go meet Moses in the wilderness. So he went out to meet him in the mountain and he kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words that the Lord had given him and sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him to do. And Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of the sons of Israel. And Aaron spoke the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. He then performed the signs in front of the people. And the people, it says, they believed. They saw it, and they actually believed it. And when they heard about what the Lord was concerned about them, and that he had seen their affliction, then they bowed low and they worshiped God. Hallelujah. They saw it. God really cares about me. He sent his people to come and talk to us and give us some good news. Not only that, he showed us signs and wonders. He started seeing people set free from sin. Jesus is coming here. They believed, and it caused them to bow down low and they just worship God. Worship God. You read this before, but I want to read this again. In John chapter 5, there's a man who did this very thing. Actually, John 9. This is the one I want. John 9. Now, here's a man. A blind man. Sick man. Blind all his life. Couldn't see. Never had clarity. Couldn't see nothing. And disciples asked him a question. Why was he born blind like this? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? Why? God said no. He said, it's that the work of God might be displayed. And you know what the work of God is? The work of God is that we might believe in Jesus. So you say, why is it like this? Why is this happening? Why I can't get free? Why am I sinning? Why? Well, yeah, we've sinned. We've chosen to sin. But it's all for one thing, reason. That God might be glorified. And you know how God is glorified? That we believe in Jesus Christ. When you believe in Jesus Christ and you acknowledge you've sinned against heaven and against God, and you've sinned against man, your neighbor, and all the wickedness, and you acknowledge that, and you start to believe in Jesus, that gives glory to God. Because Satan is going to be humbled. Because God's come, Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And the devil's come to bind every man, to take him to hell, and Jesus came to set them free. The devil is our adversary. Jesus Christ is our Savior. And God and Jesus explained these things. So what happened was this blind man, Jesus spit in the ground, and he took the mud and the clay, he put it on his eyes, he touched him, and he received sight, and he was healed. And he told him, rather, to go and wash. And he washed, and he washed his eyes, he could see again. He just obeyed this one simple command. Jesus told him, go and wash. And this is a bit of a parable for us, but when Jesus tells us one little thing in our hearts, one small thing, if he tells you to go wash, whatever that looks like, washing means cleaning up. Jesus tells you to go clean up, and you just listen to that one word, you know, maybe you're blind, maybe you have leprosy in your hand, maybe it's something else, right? Some area of sin, and you just listen to one small thing and obey it, you can have healing. You can see again. He can make you well. And when he washed, it says he came back seeing. See, he believed the sign. He believed the words Jesus spoke. Just like Moses went and told them the words, they believed it. This man believed it. They saw deliverance. This man saw Jesus had set him free. Now, when this happened, a big ruckus started happening. Everybody got stirred up. All this, what's going on here? What happened to this man? When you start getting set free from sin and your life changes, people get stirred up. They're wondering what's going on. You know, your old friends and buddies and all these things, they'll start wondering what is happening. And all this man could say was, this Jesus, who they're accusing to be a sinner, I don't know about that, but he says, all I know was I was blind, now I see. What he was saying is, all I know is I was a sinner, now I'm free. That's all he knew. You don't have to know a whole lot to be saved. Just have to know that you're blind. Just have to know you're a sinner. That's all you have to know. If you know that, and you believe Jesus can make you free, you can receive the salvation. Now, when all this stuff happened, this man, he answered back to show that this Jesus who set him free was truly Jesus. This man didn't have a lot of knowledge, but he had something inside of him telling him that this Jesus is the real Jesus. Because I see what he done in my life. And he said, we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, he hears them. And this man says, look, if anyone fears God, we know God will hear him. And this Jesus couldn't be doing these signs unless he feared God. Because God hears this Jesus. Just like Moses, when he came and did these signs, the people believed because they thought, how could this Moses do these things unless this man feared God? And he did fear God. And when he did these signs, the people believed because they knew this man was in touch with God. He was in touch with Jesus, with the Almighty God. And so when Jesus came, this man believed, this man's in touch with God. And I want to draw near to that. And he said it's because of the fear of God. If we fear God when we hear his words, God will hear your prayers. When those people cried when they were in Egypt, they had a fear of God. They realized the only hope was Jesus. The only hope was God. And God heard them. God hears your prayers when you fear God. Now it says here, since the beginning of time, it's never been heard that anyone has opened blind eyes. God did something new here. You know what happened? They accused this man of being born in sin all his life. They just looked down upon him. They weren't concerned about him being set free from sin. These religious people in the churches, they didn't really care. They didn't want to spend time with men like that. They were too busy for that kind of stuff. So they put him out of the church, of the synagogue. They put him, and his parents were even ashamed of him. But Jesus wasn't ashamed of them. Jesus was looking for guys like that. Come and follow me. Now look at this. Verse 35 says, Jesus heard that they had put him out. And finding him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? See, he didn't yet believe in his heart, but he just listened to what Jesus said. Now if you listen to what Jesus says and you don't understand it all, and you don't necessarily believe really in Jesus with all your heart because you haven't known that freedom, but you start to believe a few things that Jesus says to you, then Jesus might find you and he might come to you. Just like God came down from heaven and he spoke with Moses and told those people, I'm coming down because I see that you fear God. You guys are crying out. And Jesus heard that they put him out. And so now he was being rejected and all these things. And Jesus went to those people. He went to the rejected people, the afflicted ones. Nobody cared about. And he said to them, he said to this man, do you believe in the Son of Man? See, this is what Jesus wanted to know. He just wants to know one thing. It all comes back to this one thing. Do you believe? Right? Moses said, Lord, I don't know if he'll believe me. He said, do the signs. He went and did the signs. He showed them. He spoke to them. They said, we believe. God says, it's enough for me. It's enough for me if you believe. Do you believe? This is a question that God has today. Do you believe where you're at? Do you believe wherever you're at, whatever you're struggling with, that Jesus can make you free? This is the question he asks. Do you believe in the Son of Man? And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? Lord, I just need to know you. I need to know who this Son of Man is. Tell me and I'll believe. Just a childlike faith, mustard seed faith. God hears that kind of cry. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and he's the one who's talking with you. Can you imagine that? Tell him about the Son of Man. He says, Lord, just tell me who he is. I'll believe it. He says, you've not only seen him, he's talking with you right now. Oh, man. Figure of God must have hit him. You know what happened? He said, Lord, I believe. And he fell down. He says he worshipped him. This man didn't have to have no theology. He didn't have to figure it out. He just hit the ground fast. Fast. He hit the ground and he worshipped him. Just like those Israelites when Moses spoke to them. They showed him a sign that says, Jesus cares about me. They fell on their face. They bowed down. And they worshipped the Almighty God. You know what Jesus said? He said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who don't see, that they might see, and those who see might become blind. You see, when you just don't know, you've never known the truth, you've never known the freedom, and then Jesus comes and tells you, you can be free, and now you've known it, now you've grasped it, and you just believe that. And Jesus says, well, because you're blind, you didn't know, you never had anyone really show you the way, you never had anyone tell you the truth, but now I'm telling you the truth, and now you bow down, you've received it, you believe. He said, that's why I came. Because you're blind, I'll make you free. But to the man who says, no, I got it all. It's all okay. I can see fine. There's nothing wrong with me. God says, I'm coming to make them blind. And those people who rejected him and cast him out, couldn't receive him, those religious people, the Pharisees, this is, they heard these things and they said, they were offended. And they said, are we blind too? We're not blind too, are we? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But because you say, we see your sin remains. If you pull out your hand and you see that leprosy, and you realize, man, I got a problem. You see that you're blind. You see that you've defiled your temple, which is holy. It's God's. And you recognize it. Yes, that's what I am. I am this way. But you believe you can be changed. Then God says, I came for that. Jesus says, I came for the sinner. But if we harden our heart and we become proud and we say there's no hope and we listen to the devil, how can we be free, right? How could you be free? Why not believe the truth? Why not believe in the Son of Man? If you hear his voice today, if he's speaking to you, if you've seen something, maybe you haven't seen a physical sign, but maybe you're hearing something. Maybe something's happening inside. Jesus is showing you a greater sign. Then believe that. If you believe it, call on the name of Jesus, and it says, whoever calls on his name with a loud cry, just crying out to Jesus, believe. He'll make you free. In Jesus' name, amen.